speaker is Kari Tarr, who is a professor emeritus of film at Kingston University. Her publications include, I'll just mention a few of them, perhaps the more influential ones, Reframing Difference, Baron Bonnier Cinema in France, and A Belle Époque, Women in French Society and Culture, 1890 to 1914, co-editor. And she also co-edited Focalizing the Body in Contemporary Women's Writing and Filmmaking, a special issue of Nottingham French Studies, and Berry is Beautiful, Maghrebi French Filmmaking, a supplement to Cineast 2007. And there are a few more books, but I won't mention them.
Right, thank you very much, Hishafa. And so I realize now the pattern we're moving from Hollywood to Bollywood and now to Europe, and of course French cinema is Europeans' largest cinema, and I guess the diasporic minorities I'm talking about are the largest diasporic minority in Europe, that is the 5 million strong Arab Muslim community. I'm not strictly speaking to the films in my abstract, I'm afraid, for want of time. So, French cinematic representations of, also I think what I have to say is going to rejoin a lot of what Stella raised in her question, the issues about Italian migrants in America. Now, French cinematic representations of diasporic families, most often of Maghrebi, or North African, more specifically Algerian descent, that is from France's former colonies in the post-war period. These films have, since the 1980s, with few exceptions, centred on the problematic place and identity of second-generation banlieue youths, that is, youths from the deprived, multi-ethnic ghettos, really, the suburbs that surround French cities. And these young people who are at odds with their first-generation migrant parents, indeed parents have typically been absent from or marginalised within the diegesis, or particularly in the case of the Arab Muslim father figure, represented as a negative influence on the children's ability to integrate into French society. The unwitting decision of his victim of his decision to migrate to a racist post-colonial France, the father has been constructed as unable to transmit a sense of culture, identity and belonging, instead seeking to compensate for the loss of patriarchal authority in the public sphere through the unacceptably violent treatment of wives and children in the private sphere. The lack of positive parental paternal role models in these films appears to account in part for the son's troubled, dysfunctional masculinity manifest in their inability to attain a settled adult identity either through work or through the formation of the couple and by extension the family, that is, to give birth to a new generation. And the film, of course, you're probably all familiar with, which is typical of this, is La Haine, Mathieu Kassovitz's La Haine. Now, these representations continue to be found in French cinema in the 2000s, as in Nora Amdi's Des Poupées des Anges, of Dolls and Angels, in which the stereotypical Arab Muslim father figure beats his wife and traumatizes his daughters, who consequently seek only to escape family constraints. As in Philippe Faucon's earlier Samia, the father's violence is attributed not just to patriarchal Arab Berber Muslim traditions, but to the alienation and exploitation he experiences as migrant labor in France, figured through his sick, maimed, or dying body. In the last few years, however, and I think I'm talking about a new phenomenon today, films about second-generation banlieue youths, which problematize the dysfunctional diasporic family, have given way to films which explore with more attention the relationships between the different generations within the family and which notably foreground and seek to some extent to rehabilitate the role of the father. This is true not just of films representing the diasporic family of Maghrebi origin, such as Ismail Faruqi's Le Grand Voyage, which features the relationship and eventual reconciliation of the stubborn Muslim father and recalcitrant Western son during the father's pilgrimage to Mecca, and La Graine et le Mulet, known as Couscous here, Abdelatif Kechiche's tribute to his father, a portrayal of a first-generation Maghrebi immigrant and his complex, multi-stranded family living in the port city of Sète, but also of films representing children of mixed-race heritage and their caring, nurturing fathers, be they of Caribbean or Franco-French origin, such as Lucien Jean-Baptiste's surprise hit comedy
première étoile, or first star, about, as you can see there on the left, about a father taking his children skiing. Claire Denis' 35 shots of rum, and Nassim Amaouche's Adieu Gary, or Farewell Gary, all made in 2009. So I say it's really a recent phenomenon. In this paper, however, I'm going to focus on the representations of the father, or rather the father's legacy, in two recent French social problem comedies, which focus on the ability of second-generation sons of Maghrebi origin to found their own family in France. And the two films are Mauvaise Foi, Bad Faith, by well-known actor-turned-director Roche Dizem, who you might have seen in Rachid Bouchareb's Days of Glory and is currently in the film Oh La Loi, showing in London. Also, in their ways, tributes to the father figure through historical films. He co-wrote and stars in this film, as well as directing it. And The Italian, hence the link also with Stella's paper, by actor-director Olivier Barou, a film which is loosely inspired by the life of its principal actor and Barou's long-term comic partner, Cad Murad, one of France's most popular actors, co-star of Danny Boone's 2008 film Welcome to the Sticks, which you might have seen, and which is France's most popular French film ever. Both of these films did well at the box office in France, each achieving over a million spectators, and both can be read, I think, as a tribute to the generation of the actor-filmmaker's parents. Unlike Couscous, however, which I was going to talk about, which represents the family in an entirely secular light, focusing on the father's attempt to provide material benefits for his family, or Le Grand Voyage, which displaces the representation of Muslim religious observances to an unthreatening location outside metropolitan France, these films address the legacy of their parents' adherence to Islam and the place of religion in the culture of the contemporary diasporic family in France. They need to be read, then, in the context of the rise in and banalization of Islamophobia in France over the last decade and the consequent destabilization of the Arab Muslim population, arguably legitimated by the laws forbidding the wearing of the veil in schools and now the burqa in public places, and crystallized in Marine Le Pen's notorious denunciation during her campaign for the leadership of the National Front in France of Muslims praying in the streets when there was no room in the mosque for Friday prayers as a form of occupation that is akin to the Nazi occupation of France during World War II. So in this context, then, what do filmmakers have to say, can say, about the diasporic family of Arab Muslim heritage? So first, then, Mauvaise Foi, which incidentally is showing in this Mosaïque festival I've been distributing the information about. So in a couple of weeks' time, you can see it at the Ciné Lumière, I think. Mauvaise Foi, or Bad Faith, a very good title, Mauvaise Foi foregrounds the problems that arise between a professional French couple, Ismaël, a music teacher, a classical music teacher, but of Moroccan origin, and Clara, his physiotherapist girlfriend of 4 years standing, who is of Ashkenazi Jewish heritage. When Clara happily discovers she is pregnant, and they both realise they need to introduce their respective family to their partner and the prospect of a grandchild. So the imminence of parenthood is thus a catalyst for an examination of their hitherto unquestioned secular Republican French values as they confront the real or imagined antagonism of their parents, who are presumed to be devoted to their religion. And this film is also important, Mauvaise Foi, as one of a series of recent films which address the relationship between Jews and Arabs in contemporary France in the context of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which has led to increasing anti-Semitism in France as well as Islamophobia. So it's worth noting that the inspiration for the film is the fact, I think, that Roche Dizem, the actor and director, is himself, who is himself of Moroccan origin, also has a Jewish partner and is basing the film on his own experiences and desire to promote intercultural harmony and convivial coexistence. So Ismaël faces, on the one hand, the initial hostility of Clara's family, particularly her mother, who fears the loss of Jewish community and identity, and on the other, his own anxieties about the reactions of his widowed mother, and by extension, his dead father, whose forbidding parental image hangs on the wall in his mother's flat. Though I should say that his westernised sister, who you can also see there, is represented as fully able to accept and welcome this development in his life. She knows about it, the mother doesn't. Ismael's sense of self is further challenged when Clara disingenuously introduces a mezuzah, a visible sign of her Jewishness, into the doorway of their shared flat, assuring him that it is in respect of tradition rather than religion. So he reacts by reasserting his Arab Muslim heritage briefly, pretending to fast for Ramadan. Actually, he sneaks a banana into his pocket and insisting that the unborn, which he presumes male child, be called Abdelkrim after his father, also in the name of tradition. Subsequently, however, he flirts with the idea put forward by Clara's father that he should convert to Judaism. This is in order to constitute the happy family to bring up the child to be, leading to a key scene in which he strides out into the street, still wearing the kippah, which he has been trying on in preparation for attending the synagogue, to the horror of his Muslim uncle, a halal busher, and the nearest model he has for a father in the film, who wants him to attend the mosque. When he sees his reflection in a shop window, as you see here, he realises he can't proceed with the conversion, removes the mezuzah, which he had been obliged to cover up when his mother came round to visit, and in despair tells Clara that he's not ready for parenthood, leading Clara reluctantly to decide to get an abortion. Eventually, however, prompted by his Jewish friend and fellow musician, Mulu, Ismael realises he needs to assert his secular values, tells his mother at last about Clara and her pregnancy, but also stresses that he cannot tell the child Abdelkrim. He cannot call the child Abdelkrim, i.e. he cannot conform to Arab Muslim traditions. To his surprise, his mother, who in any case shares the cakes she bakes for Eid with her Jewish neighbours, is simply delighted at the prospect of a grandchild, as is his father. So significantly, father, who apparently never liked the name anyway, smiles down from his portrait, thus providing a message of tolerance within Islam that contrasts with the initial narrow-mindedness of Clara's mother. So the narrative ends ambiguously as Ismael reaches the clinic possibly too late to prevent Clara from going through with the abortion. It's not made clear. However, an epilogue set some years later shows the two grandmothers arriving together to look after their two grandchildren as the couple prepare to go to work. The film thus contrasts a potentially tragic ending in which the assertion of religious difference leads to the breakdown of the couple and the childlessness with a loving, happy one in which people put aside religious differences in order to raise a secular, hybridised Republican family, not Muslim, not Jewish, but French. The only hint of trouble to come being Ismael's mother's hopes that if her son marries out, a practice generally tolerated in any case, more in the case of daughters than sons than daughters, her westernised football-playing tomboy daughter who refuses to wear pink will find herself an Arab Muslim husband. Now, the film is actually dedicated to Zem's mother, and clearly it is the loving mother figure here who offers her son the openness and approval he needs to live his own life, create his own hybridized diasporic family in a way which conforms to French Republican secular values. However, one might suspect that by reducing the father figure to a portrait here, the film avoids actually addressing the effects of the living bodily presence of the father and his potential resistance to his son's apparent refusal to pass on his cultural and religious heritage to his children. So it's the bodily presence of the father and the son's need for his love and approval that informs the son's troubled quest for identity in the Italian, so which we're now going to turn to. So Kad Murad's very highly successful career, largely derives from the fact that he's known for playing roles which do not acknowledge his Franco-Algerian origins. But in the Italian, arguably he comes out by playing a character called Murad Ben Saoud, eldest son of an Algerian immigrant family who, like Ismael, is unable to tell them about the reality of his life. In this instance, because fed up with the discrimination he experiences in looking for a flat and getting a job, topics that have been part of this sort of cinema since the 1980s, you would have hoped things had moved on. But fed up with this discrimination, he's created an alter ego, Dino Fabrizi, a Catholic Italian, and thus a more acceptable kind of Mediterranean immigrant in France. As Dino, and Dino is performed here with all these, to all these stereotypical excess of Italianness that was raised earlier this morning. Murad has a successful job with a Maserati dealership in Nice, a luxurious flat, a French girlfriend, but he has to pretend to his family that he lives in Rome. As Murad, however, he pretends that his family live in Rome. As Murad, he has to pretend to his parents that he works in Rome. With only his well-integrated history teacher, sister, and Jewish connection, artist friend, knowing the truth. His schizophrenic identity is repeatedly represented through split-screen imagery, as you see in the middle there. He's removing his Catholic cross as he's going to meet his mother. So this identity, the schizophrenia, reaches crisis point when his father has a heart attack during a family gathering, demonstrating the tap dance he once supposedly performed in Algiers in 1958 with Sammy Davis Jr. Now, from the hospital bed, the father makes him promise to fast in his place during Ramadan. He can't do it himself, since he needs to be at peace with the Prophet. So now the son has to address this question of his fractured identity and what he's going to do. And like Ismail, he's not a practicing Muslim, but he is a loving son who craves his father's approval. And to fulfill his promise correctly, he sets out to learn how to become a practicing Muslim, simultaneously, I think, providing a lesson for us, the spectator. So first he purchases Islam for dummies, Islam pour les nuls. He then consults an imam who explains the requirements and spiritual benefits of Ramadan, as well as the penalties for failing, and secretly begins to fast and pray, to the detriment both of his work and his relationship with his girlfriend, who can't understand why he avoids, why he avoids eating and having sex with her. Eating here, the problem is the plate of tiramisu, not the spaghetti. He has to find a way of not eating this, which he does eventually by giving it to the dog, I think. So eventually, however, when his racist colleague, a rival for promotion, discovers him at prayer in the office, that is, he's brought his Ramadan practice into, had to bring his Ramadan practice into his public life, his life as Dino, he admits the truth and quits the job. He also tells Hélène and faces her anger at his lies. So after unable to confront the family he's betrayed and subject yet again to anti-Arab racism, as soon as he loses the Dino persona, he seems to become a victim again, he lets himself be deported to Algeria as an illegal immigrant, where, in fact, he continues to pray in prison. So like the first film, this film too plays with a tragic ending, in that Murad appears to have lost everything by asserting his religious identity. But this is averted when he is saved by and reconciled with the father, comes to take him out of prison, who admits that he too has lied in his case about dancing with Sammy Davis Jr. He wasn't in Algiers at the time, and takes him to the place where he failed to dance with Sammy Davis Jr. While his mother reminisces about how they used a French name to make a restaurant booking when they first arrived in France. So on his mother's advice, Murad approaches Hélène once more, this time visibly attired as an Arab Muslim, and accepted at last for his, I think, hybridized self, because he still has his Dino persona. The film provides the requisite happy ending via a montage of his marriage, where the guests include his former boss, hinting at the prospect of getting back his job, and a honeymoon in Rome, which is Dino, he had never actually been to. On the face of it, then, it would seem that L'Italien, like Mauvaise Foi, affirms the need for second generation Maghrebis to openly and visibly reclaim their parents' religious faith, depicted as the way to authenticity and truth. However, the final sequence actually follows on from Murad's memories of himself, mimicking his father by learning to tap dance as a child. And I want to argue that at his wedding, rather than his father's religious beliefs, it is actually his openness to cultural difference, that is, black Jewish American tap dancing. Sammy Davis Jr. was a convert to Judaism. That Murad embraces, which in the spirit, and embraces to excess, I think, as you can see here, he's bringing together the tap dancing and the respect for the father and the embrace. It takes up far more time in the sequence than the actual wedding to the French girlfriend. So I think this openness to otherness that is already demonstrated by the father through his tap dancing then, in the spirit of French secularism, remains compatible with mixed marriages and intercultural friendships. And one is left, I think, with little doubt that if Hélène were to get pregnant, like Clara in Mauvaise Foi, Mourad would be as content to transmit his tap dancing skills and his love of life as Dino as his Muslim faith to his children. Just as Islam, in fact, in Mauvaise Foi, a musician, had wanted to transmit his love of music. To conclude, then, these two recent mainstream comedies offer representations of first-generation Maghrebi fathers and their no longer adolescent sons. So this is, you know, these are quite new representations of grown-up second-generation men that are very different from those in earlier films which stress difference, alienation and conflict. Both mothers and fathers turn out to be benign, loving figures, open to others, and willing to put aside their religious beliefs in order to enable their otherwise integrated sons to set up their intercultural families, secure in the awareness of and indebtedness to their Arab-Muslim heritage, but without being bound by its traditions and practices. In the current climate of increasing Islamophobia, these films fulfil an important ideological function in recognising the legitimate place of migrants, of migrant families of Arab Muslim origin and culture in France, while asserting that their identities are not fixed but relational, and so confirming their ability to contribute to the future of a stable, secular, multicultural, family-oriented France. Thanks.